The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Center Show, Show 159, Thursday, 5th of June, 2008. Tech Radar.com. I'm Ian Dixon. Great to have you along. And I've got a really good interview for you this week. I'm going to be talking to Autonomic Home, and they have some really interesting solutions for controlling home automation and media center, like from UMPCs, tablet PCs, and laptops. And they've also got a really interesting solution for using distributed audio around the home. They're using a 7.1 sound card, which is 8 channels, so they can get 4 pairs of stereo around the home. So if you're looking for distributed audio around the home, this is a really interesting way of doing it, rather than having special hardware devices. You can just use your PC. I think it's a great idea, so have a listen to the interview later for that one. I've also got email and news items, and the winner of the Ultimate Enthusiast competition. So let's go straight into the email. And this is from Joe. Hi Ian, great show, keep up the good work. I have a question that I have seen posted on multiple forums recently, but have yet to find a straight answer for. Over the past few months, I've been transforming my gaming-only system into a gaming HTPC system using Media Center. Obviously, listening to your show has been a tremendous help. So far, the project has been going relatively smooth. The biggest obstacle I've encountered thus far relates to display management. Here's a scenario. I have an ATI 3870 driving a 21-inch LCD and a 50-inch plasma. I have my PC and LCD powered on 24/7. However, the plasma is not always on, and when it is, it may be set to an input that is not related to the HTPC, like PS3 or satellite. When I do switch the plasma to the HTPC input, I'm currently after opening the Catalyst Control Center and setting up the resolution, display type, etc. Since the PC is in a different room, having to reset all the parameters each time I switch to HTPC input is a hassle. In a perfect world, it would be great if the HTPC would remember these settings, regardless if the plasma is on and off. Do you have any recommendations? Regards, Joe. Thanks for the email, Joe. This is there seems to be an issue there with the Catalyst drivers not remembering the plasma. You would have thought that once you've set up the plasma as your second display, even if it's switched off, when you try and use that display, it would remember the settings. I have heard of HDMI detection sometimes causing an issue, and you think the Catalyst Control Center software would sort this out with maybe some kind of hotkey where you could press. I don't know whether it's possible to do that, where you could associate a key, so if you press F11, it enables the second display, switches the right resolution settings and everything else. Well, I'm not sure you can do that, but I wonder whether a third-party application like PowerStrip could do that. Have a look at PowerStrip. I'll put a link for that in the show notes, and let me know how you get on with that. And if any listeners got any suggestions, let me know, because I think the hotkey idea is probably the best bet. It just seemed crazy that you've got to go and set your resolution every time you turn your TV on. So now, a follow-up email that's from Ian McPherson. Hi Ian, thanks for taking the time to consider my previous email and your comments made on the show recently. It's become clearer that I need to split my requirements down to look for, and not to look for, a one solution fits all. I was hoping to have a home server that would serve all my requirements in a new house, but from your response I realised that a PC running Media Center is going to be the backbone of the recorded live TV system. With regards to Media Center setup, can I ask you to confirm a few points? If you have two tuners installed into one Media Center PC, is it simply that the screen then has two available options to view record independently of each other? And two, I plan to have a wide network, would I need a gigabit connection? Three, is there a limit on the number of extenders I can work with one Media Center PC? Four, if we have two or more extenders working simultaneously, do they all see the same thing on the screen? And five, Similarly, if we use extenders to play music in different areas, if someone's listening to music in the kitchen and then someone else connects in the bedroom and wants to listen to different music, how is that handled? Sorry if these seem dumb questions, I just want to ensure the correct wiring is installed in the new build at the beginning. Thanks again, Ian. Okay, so let's look at Ian's point one by one. So the first point, he said, number one, I have two tuners installed into one MIDI center PC. Point one. If I have two tuners installed into one MIDI center PC, is it simply that the screen then has two available options to record independently of each other? Yes, you're right there, Ian. I've got dual tuner in my machine, and I can watch live TV on one extender and then go to another machine and watch different live TV. A third person then can't watch live TV, I'm just switched it to the two. But what I can do is watch recorded TV on an additional extender as well. You mentioned the second point there. I plan to have wired network when I need gigabit. You know, I'm not sure you do really. I don't have gigabit. I've got multiple extenders and don't really have any issues. And I use wireless network for some of the extenders as well. So I don't think you need to. Any listeners can let me know if you think I'm wrong. But I wouldn't necessarily think you need to do that at this stage. And three, is there a limit on the number of extenders that can work with one MIDI center PC? Yes, there is, and that's five, and that's a hard limit that's built into MIDI center. You can actually have more than five extenders connected to the system, but only five actually in use at once. Similarly, if we were to use question five, similarly, if we were to use extenders to play music in different areas of the house, there's no problem with running different music in different zones. So I could be in my living room listening on the Xbox 360 listening to one track. I can go into the kitchen and fire up an extender and listen to a totally different track, and I could go on another one and so on. There's no problem with that. Each extender session is separate, and it's only when it comes down to the live TV where you've got the two, say on a dual tuner card, you've got the two channel restrictions. As far as playback of video, music, and pictures is all separate. So thanks for your email, I hope that helps you, and let us know how you get on with your setup. And now another follow-up email, this is from Deepak. It's, hi Ian, thanks for show 156 about HP MIDI Smart TV. I really enjoyed it. I was taken by surprise when Brian Birch, director of HP's Connected Entertainment, specifically referred to my email from show 152, where I'd asked for more details on the MIDI Smart TV. However, I couldn't find the TV on HP's site. I'm not sure if HP has come up with a new model. Are you aware of anything in this regard? Let me know what you can find on their site. And that's from Deepak. It is great that that Brian listened to that show. And one of the reasons why he was keen to come on the show was specifically because of that question. So it just shows that companies like HP are listening to people in the community, which is great. I did find the link on the website with the TV, and then it had some links to things like Best Buy and Amazon, so maybe that's the way to pick it up. I'm not aware of a new model coming out at the moment, but as soon as I hear anything, I'll let you guys know. And I think it's a nice piece of kit, that HP MIDI Smart TV. I just wish it was available in the UK. So please keep the email coming in. It's ian@thedigitallifestyle.com If you've got anything to comment on the emails we've had already, or you've got a question you want answering, send those in at ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. And I still want to hear about your home automation stories as well. So if you're using home automation, and I want to hear what listeners are doing with their home automation. So as I mentioned before, we've had vendors on and developers talking about home automation, but I want to hear what you're doing with it. So ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Let's have a look at some news items now. First off, Stephen Harding is asking on the Digital Lifestyle Developer blog, would you like to see a MIDI Center development book? Stephen's actually working on a book about MIDI Center development. He was asking whether you'd like to see it in a traditional book format or in a PDF format or some combination of those. I personally think PDF is great because you get the content out very quickly and people got it straight away and you can copy and paste and those kind of things. On the other hand, writing a book is nice to see your book in the shops with your name on it, so it's kind of a vanity thing behind it. Certainly I enjoyed seeing my book on the shelf, but knowing how much effort goes into these books and to do it in something like Media Center Development, putting it out on PDF in a sort of fairly low cost way, I think is a great idea. So have a look at the link in the show note and let Stephen know what you think. It certainly is something that's necessary, I think, at Media Center Development book. Some other items. One of the Media Center Netflix add-ins, VMC Netflix, has gone open source. I don't have Netflix, so I'll not be able to try it, but I do think Media Center is ideally suited for Netflix services. I know they've brought out a set-top box with Roku, but I mean, when you've got Media Center with extenders, it makes perfect sense to run the software on there. And with the VMC Netflix, that's gone open source. So have a look at the link for that in the show notes. The developer is asking, you know, for some help to and some contributions from the community. So have a look at that. Now, if you're in the UK or Germany and you're thinking of purchasing Vista to get Media Center, there's an additional option from this week. Microsoft launched an online store, and I think this is the first time I've seen anything like this, certainly for the UK market. They're going to sell in Office, Windows and some other software on there for download as well as for DVD. So if you've got XP and you want to get Vista Home Premium upgrade, you can actually buy it directly from the Microsoft Store site and download the media. And then I presume that they must email you the key or something like that. So I think that's an interesting avenue that they're looking at. I'm not sure about the pricing of it. I had a look on Amazon and I think the upgrade price was, well, £67, 97p. And on Microsoft's site it was £79.99. So, and that's for the digital version, the download version, as opposed to getting the DVD with Amazon. I suppose in the other respect you get that quicker, but I think it's a step in the right direction. It'd be interesting if Microsoft offer more stuff directly from the website and maybe cutting out the partners. So would you buy direct from Microsoft, or would you prefer the disc route from a reseller? One other thing I was pondering this week was what do you do with your Media Center content when you want to take it with you on the go? So I'm using Media Center, recording all my TV, everything's stored on my Media Center PC. But when you go out and about, what do you do to take it with you? I've got a Zune that I use to put recorded TV on, and podcasts and music and everything else. But I'd find that as the transcoding speed is fairly slow, it kind of takes half an hour to do an hour show. You've got to pre-plan what you're taking with you. If I'm going away for a length of time, especially if I'm going, like, say, to CES and I'm away for a few days and on a plane and whatever, I tend to put some content on my UMPC or on my tablet PC. But I wanted to hear how you do deal with this. So if you're recording TV onto your Media Center PC, what do you do when you want to take it with you? What kind of devices do you use, an iPod or a Zune or whatever? If you're going and you're going to be available online, you can use something like Orb to stream the content or WebGuide. So let me know what you think. I want to know really how this works for you and how could Media Center be better to enable you to take the content with you. We're all, you know, talking about low-cost PCs and going mobile and things, you know, ultra-mobile PCs and ultra-low-cost PCs, and all these different things. What are you going to do to get your content to take it with you? So let me know at ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I want to thank everybody that voted for the Ultimate Enthusiast competition. We have a winner who was Elootos, I think he's pronounced, Elootos. Have a look at his link in the show notes. It's pretty cool, really. He had a really nice setup, and you voted for that, so have a look for that. I've got to draw some winners, the people that voted, and I'm going to give away a Zune and some software as well, so I'll sort that out over the next few days and have a look at some of the great setups on there on the Flickr group. So before I go to the interview, I just want to mention a plug for my Twitter account. I'm getting more and more people sign up for this now, and I really do like the way that we can communicate with each other. So my Twitter account is isdixon. So Twitter is a free account, and if you've not seen it before, it's called microblogging. You've got 140 characters to put what you're doing. Now this sounds pretty boring if you put, you know, having my sandwich or eating my tea, but if you use it for more stuff, like, you know, setting up my home theatre PC and stuff like that, it's a way of communicating with other people in the community. And if you follow me, you'll get all the updates for what's happening on thedigitallifestyle.com as well as what I'm up to. And I'll follow you back, and then I can keep in touch with what you're doing. So, you know, if there's something interesting that you're doing, I can ask you about it, and we can communicate. So, twitter.com/IXDixon is my account, and make sure you follow me, and I'll follow you back. I also wanted to mention the forums as well. There's plenty of information on there, on the forums, on thedigitallifestyle.com. And it's great to see members helping out other members. And I want to add some gold membership soon, because I'm going to be giving away some stuff for members. So make sure you get posting in the forums. Okay, now it's time for a break and a message from One Voice, and I'll be back with Autonomic.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE speech tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
So, Michael, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Thanks for having us on, Ian.
And I'm really looking forward to talking today, because we talked about let me get the good pronunciation right as well. It's Autonomic Home, is that right? Autonomic Home?
Yes, so Autonomic. How many times I have to spell that?
Now, we've talked about you guys on the show in the past, but we've never actually had you on. So I thought it would be great to talk to you about. You've got some great stuff for audio and UMPCs and things like that. But before we get into that, I always like to ask kind of a background of the guest. So where do you come from?
Well, we started basically as a computer in the computer consulting area. My partner and I, Michael DeNegris, met because we basically doing some computer consulting. But we both were AV enthusiasts, and we decided that doing what we love to do, even if we get paid less, ends up being a better life. But as it turns out, we didn't have to give up the money either.
Well, that's always nice.
That is nice. And we've been doing this for a couple of years now. I guess our first product out the door was our media control server, which was a full two-way control of Media Center. And our first release was even before Vista.
So you're going back on XP days.
Right. So we started back in Windows XP Media Center days, and we were able to deliver a Vista solution right out the door. As Vista shipped, our product worked with Vista, which was nice for the early adopters.
Yeah, absolutely. And
so we've been adding features ever since. You know, basically 1.0 was primarily music, but when we came to version 1.5, which was a little over a year ago, we added movies, including My Movies functionality, and also videos, pictures, pretty much everything that Media Center can do, you can control through our media control server. And the other thing we added at that point was our Flash-based client, which will run pretty much in anything that supports Flash, UMPCs and other touch panels, etc. You know, we have that functionality, but as far as the company is concerned, that's pretty much it. You know, we're still doing this. We're moving forward. We've made kind of a big splash in the industry, making friends with lots of companies in the consumer electronics space, and that's where we are.
Let's talk about the control software first, because I think that's a really interesting area. So You can control Media Center from a variety of devices. So how does that work? How does that work?
All right. There's a piece of software that we put on your Media Center PC. It runs as a Windows service for those people who are technical, and it basically hooks into Media Center and listens for connections over TCP/IP. So it allows you to have that full two-way control of Media Center. You can tell it to play back a specific genre of music, play it back a specific album, any specific song, go play a slideshow of these pictures. And that works with any Media Center that's running on that PC. So it's the primary desktop Media Center or any of the extenders as well.
So you can control Media Center then. So what kind of clients can you control it from?
Well, that product basically offers a TCP/IP connection to control Media Center, but that means that any number of products can control it. Anything that can talk TCP/IP there as well. So we can control it with a sophisticated Crestron or AMX system. We can control the HAI alarm panel. We have customers who do that quite frequently. We can control it from a flash-based client. That's the Mirage software. So pretty much anything that can open up a socket and spit out some text can control the Media Center and make it dance.
Right, that's where it gets really interesting then, because you can control it from, let's say, a variety of sources. So if somebody wanted to use that control service and write their own interface for that, is it a service they buy from you or a subscription model or a license they need?
Right, they can buy just a Media Center control server, the Media Center control software, and they can with that they also get a version of Mirage, the flash-based client. But there's a document that basically describes our protocol, and an enthusiast who wants to integrate it in some homegrown home automation system would work just fine.
Because having that potential being able to control by TCP opens it up for like an enthusiast just to come up with anything. I mean, I was thinking about it the other week. You could using all these kind of new web services like Twitter and all these other kind of things that have got APIs, you can probably create some really interesting solutions.
Exactly. I mean, we have some customers who do some fun stuff. With the alarm panel, HAI alarm panel, whenever you walk up to the alarm panel and disables your code, it knows who you are. So we have customers who, when the lady of the house comes home and disarms the alarm, it starts playing back her favorite music throughout the house. Another customer does something very similar. When he disarms the alarm, he tends to get home later than the evening news. So, he disarms the alarm. It sets the lighting levels in his home, and then he's using his alarm panel for that. And then it turns on the TV and starts playing back a recorded episode of Katie Couric, the evening news in New York.
Yeah, that's an interesting solution. I like that idea of being able to, as the developer in me, just like to be able to, throw together an application, but the hard bit there is already done. You've done the control. The client side is often the easier side of it.
Right. And we offer full support for that as well. So, our product, when you buy it, what you're buying is the ability to control Media Center. Some customers are happy with just the interface, Mirage, and other customers are, wanting to program it or integrate it into a sophisticated Crestron or AMX install. And that's when things get a little bit tricky. So, we have full support for our customers as well.
And then I guess that's then leads on to the UMPC client software that is utilizing that.
Right, exactly. That's Mirage. And basically what it is a little flash interface that talks our protocol with the server. And we've hosted it in a small EXE so that we can run it full screen without the web browser. But basically you could run it within the web as well. It doesn't matter. So anything that can play Flash, and in fact, the Mirage client lives on our control server. So if you are behind your firewall, or even if you've opened a hole in your firewall, you can browse over to your computer, your Media Center PC, http://mymediacenterpc/Mirage, and you'll get the Flash-based control from anywhere in the house.
Now that's a neat solution. I like the idea of that. So I could use my Samsung Q1, just browse to the machine, and then I can control it fully from those sort of lightweight clients.
Q1 are powered well enough to do it. Some of the smaller little web tablets are a little more underpowered. So we have a couple of different kind of experimental versions of Mirage that have fewer fancy flash transitions so that we don't overtax the CPU. But But you know, all these things are available, and on our message boards, we make, you know, our customers can come and say, well, you know, this isn't performing so well on this specific handheld device. So we say, okay, we'll try this one. Here, it's got the transitions turned off. You can give it a shot. And those usually work well.
All right. So as well as being able to run it on something like my UMPC, you could also look at some of the, like, the smaller internet devices that support Flash.
Exactly. Anything that supports Flash. And, you know, of course, it doesn't matter what OS it is, whether it be a proprietary OS or Linux or Windows, CE or whatever. If it supports Flash, and Flash is pretty much available on most platforms, then it'll play Mirage.
Oh, that is a good solution. That, so I mean, the little internet MIDs, you know, would make a great way of controlling Media Center then.
Exactly. That's the idea, and that was the purpose of Mirage, was to be able to control it from pretty much any device.
Well, that's a really nice solution. That, so I guess then, so it doesn't mean just UMPCs as well. You can control Media Center from other media centers then as well.
Exactly. And you know, Mirage, if you run on our little host exe, it also automatically discovers any of the media centers that you might have in your home that have the control server running on it. So when you have, if you have a, you know, a big enough home to have more than one media center, then, you know, it'll automatically discover them, and you can control any of them at any time. Just, you know, press a button, select which one you want to control, and start controlling it. And that includes, as I said, the desktops and the extenders as well.
Right. Oh, that's a good point, that, about the extenders there. So you can use this to control your extender sessions.
Exactly. So if you, in my personal install, I have a Media Center PC in my media room, and I have an Xbox 360 in the master bedroom, which is an extender, and I can control either of those from my UMPC.
That is good, because that's one of the issues I've had, is you can get sometimes software to control Media Center, but it's controlling the extender session that I really want.
Right, and I mean, the only downside to the extender sessions is that it doesn't natively play back movies like my movies, but, you know, there are workarounds, and I know that people have spoke about those workarounds on your show.
Yeah, there are more and more workarounds, but the extenders are great devices, so being able to control them through this is pretty neat. I mean, I'm looking at the screenshots on the website, and it's a nice-looking user interface as well, considering that, you know, it's just built with Flash.
I'm glad you like that user interface. We're actually in the middle of redesigning it a bit, because we're adding some functionality in version 2.0, which will ship this summer. And in order to facilitate that new functionality, we wanted to, you know, give it a little bit of a facelift as well while we were there. So adding these new features, we just wanted it to look a little prettier as well.
And those things, like, there's a screenshot of the Now playing. So does that get the information from the Media Center session you're connected to tell you what's playing?
Exactly. And it is full two-way control. So if you happen to be looking at that on your UMPC in a different room, like, I take my UMPC out onto the back porch sometimes when I like to smoke my cigars. They don't let me smoke those inside the house. I'll be listening to my music out on the back deck. But if someone walks up to the TV and with the, you know, the standard remote control, the IR remote control, selects a different song or starts playing back something else, I can see that on the UMPC. I can see what's going on as well.
I mean, one of the scenarios I've seen people mention before is kind of if you've got, like, speakers going out into your garden area or whatever, you can use one of these devices to control your music from outside. So if you've got a party outside, it's perfect for that.
Exactly. In fact, I use that for that. You know, whenever the weather's nice, I like to sit outside and listen to my music. You know, the idea of being able to listen to my music anywhere, and also to be able to select what I'm in the mood for, is just, it brings new life to my music collection, really, because, you know, what I've had on the hard disk is all of my music. I just have been playing the same album again and again, but once you take the UMPC with you and you say, well, what am I in the mood for this evening, I mean, you know, sometimes you find albums you forgot you had.
So I guess if you're a bit creative with your firewall and your port forwarding settings, you could actually then take this out of your network and control it over the internet.
Exactly, yes. And it really doesn't take much. We have two ports. One port is required for control, and the other port is required for album cover art. And that second one is a little web server that's built into our product.
So that'd be quite interesting. So if you could kind of leave that monitor on a machine at your office, you can see what's going on your machine at home.
Exactly. And in fact, we take advantage of that. We've been doing that with our 2.0 software with some of our partners as well. Our server is still adding a couple of more features, and Mirage is still adding more features as well. Some of our partners are interested in looking at Mirage and seeing how it interacts with these new features. So we give them the latest version of Mirage, but we run it across the internet, halfway across the United States, against a version 2.0 server that's running in our lab.
Well, that's a good way of demoing it. I noticed on the website that you do offer a trial version of it.
Yeah, there's a 14-day trial that anyone can download and install on their machine. You know, give it a test spin for 14 days, and if you're happy with it, come on back to the website and order it, or we can send you to one of our partners for a single license. For the integrators or people who are interested in becoming resellers, we have volume packages as well.
And so when you purchase that, do you get the control element that goes on the Media Center PC as well as the client then?
Exactly. So what we only charge for, which we've always done, is the Media Control Server software. Clients are always free. So we've been giving away Mirage, which is useless without our control server. But we don't feel like charging extra for the AMX module or the Crestron module or Mirage or the HAI integration guide. We don't think it makes sense for us to charge extra for those things. We just basically want to sell servers, the server software.
I think it's a really good interest solution, and I think we could see more of this kind of stuff, especially if you can get more use out of your UMPC and your tablet PC when you're at home. It just it makes justifying buying that gadget that bit easier.
Well, yeah, yes, exactly, and it helps with the wife acceptance factor as well. And with version 2.0, which, as I said, is coming out in this summer, it adds quite a few new compelling features as well. I'd like to go into those version 2.0 features if we have a few minutes.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about those now.
Sure. So 2.0 adds, I guess, three big features. The first is full two-way control of all iTunes content as well. So, we have customers who have Media Center and Windows Media Player and a whole bunch of DRM content, but we also have customers who have that as well as iTunes content. You know, iTunes most recently became the number one seller of music in the world, not just digital music, but any music, including, CDs that you would buy in the store. iTunes is now number one. So it was really compelling for us to add those customers who might have iTunes content as prospective customers.
Right. So how does that mean then you can control iTunes through the software, or that iTunes integrates with Media Center with your software?
Well, what you can do then is that what we do is we fold your two libraries together. Say you do have some music from both iTunes and also from Windows Media Player or as Media Center. We fold the two libraries together. When you ask for, what albums do I have, you get a list of albums from both systems. And you can play back music from either of them, and it takes care of playing that back with the appropriate client.
Oh, I see. So if you select a track that's a protected, DRM protected iTunes track, it will play it back through iTunes. Or if you select one from your Windows Media Library, it plays through Windows Media Player.
Exactly. There you go. So that's an interesting feature, and it really makes life easier for those people who have that that combination of libraries, or even for those people who prefer iTunes Store to buy their DRM content. And that's iTunes DRM content, Windows Media Player DRM, non-DRM content. It doesn't matter. And we also support audio books and also podcasts as well.
All right, excellent. So you can listen to the show on the all the way through there.
Exactly. I can download all of the back episodes of your show and listen to them from the back porch and controlling it via my UMPC.
I'm sure your neighbors will love that.
Well, why not?
Yeah, why not if you can do it? That's excellent. So that's in 2.0.
Right. Additionally, in 2.0, we're integrating with whole home audio systems. Specifically, we've partnered up with Nuvo Technologies, and I guess a few of your listeners are familiar with Grand Concerto or the Essentia systems that Nuvo makes. And they're multi-zone amplifiers that you can use to distribute audio around your home. With that integration, our software becomes a smart source to those systems. So that means a couple of things, but primarily it means that not only can you control iTunes or Windows Media Player content from any room in your home using the Nuvo keypad, you can also control your Nuvo amplifier within Mirage. So I can, from the back porch, I can change what's playing in the master bedroom.
So that's taking that extra step. So you can control the amplifier as well from the same control panel.
Exactly. So here, typically when you're using Mirage with just Windows Media Center, when you hit the volume up down controls, all it's doing is modifying the attenuation of the volume on the Media Center PC. When you're using it in conjunction with a whole home audio system, such as a Grand Concerto or an Essentia, then when you hit the volume up down, you're actually amplifying the signal with the amplifier.
So that is a big advantage over, say, because one of the issues I have with my extender is you can't control the volume through an extender session. You've got to actually go to the receiver. So this would get around that, because you'd be able to control it through the amplifier.
Exactly. And because these whole home systems have multiple inputs, right, multiple sources that you can plug into them, the next logical extension was for us to make multiple sources to play into that system, so that I can be listening to one DRM'd iTunes song in the living room and a different DRM'd Windows Media Player song in the bedroom. I should be able to listen to any of my music anywhere in the house, and I can have as many separate channels of music or sources of music as my computer supports. And the way we do that is we take a 5.1 sound card or a 7.1 sound card, and we split it up into stereo channels. So most machines today have a 7.1 sound card. That's 8 discrete channels of sound, and so we make it 4 stereo sources. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah. Now, this was one of the questions I was going to ask you about, because I saw this, I think it was on a Channel 10 video, and I thought it was really impressed. So a 7.1 audio system is actually 8 channels, which means you've got 4 stereo pairs then.
Exactly. So if you have a 7.1 sound card and you use our configuration software to set it up as 4 discrete sources of music, then you can run those out of the back of your PC into any amplifier. I mean, it works best if you have a whole home amplifier that you would distribute around the house, but you can set one up for your back porch and one up for your living room and however you like. And those sources are then treated as if they were extenders that have the capability of playing music only. So you can control them, listen to different music from your UMPC or over the protocol. So if we have a customer who's written some custom integration software to control their home, actually the protocol doesn't change whether you're controlling iTunes or controlling Windows Media Player or controlling Windows.
So each of the stereo pairs is treated by the software as a separate, like you said, audio extender.
Exactly. So you can think of it as an extender that has the capability of audio only. But, as you can watch different recorded TV on your Xbox 360 as you could at your Vista Media Center PC, you can listen to different audio songs, different songs or any of the audio coming out of your 7.1 sound card. And it's also not limited by one sound card. You can have multiple sound cards in your computer. So, we've had 8 audio streams coming out of a PC, and it's really not all that taxing for the CPU.
So that's an excellent idea. So you can distribute your audio directly from the main Media Center PC, and you don't need any sophisticated equipment outside of the Media Center, and the discrete as well.
Right, exactly. And so, because this is a compelling solution, I'm happy to run on operating systems that don't include per se. So you could install our control server on a Windows home server, stick it in the closet, stick a a 7.1 you have an always on four source digital music server that you can control remotely from any system, a Crestron AMX or a UMPC.
Yeah, and I guess then you don't even need a high end sort of AV solution to go with it, because that stereo pair that comes out, you can plug it into a normal amplifier. It could even be a small low price amplifier. It doesn't have to be a high end AV receiver.
Exactly. Whatever you like. I know lots of people who have distributed audio that's homegrown. You put a couple of old amplifiers in the basement and you run speakers around the house, and that works just fine.
I really like that idea. I think that's kind of using the because like 7.1 sound cards are quite common, and very few people get beyond the stereo, and the odd, some people go 5.1 but never get the true sort of 7.1, so that you're getting use out of that technology that's built in there.
Exactly. Now, and I feel like I'm one of those television commercials where you say, well, because also in 2.0 we've added the ability to play back XM radio, XM satellite radio, for those people, I guess, who have an XM account. And I think that's only in the States. But you can listen to that. We're also planning on adding Rhapsody and Last.fm as well.
So that's built into the server-side software.
It might not happen in 2.0, but maybe 2.1.
And again, you can use all this fits together. You can use the UMPC software, or to control it. You've got the sound card to distribute it around.
Exactly, and then also the control of the whole house amplifiers, if you have one, so that you have a really tight solution for digital media in a in a home, and that's any digital media, and the phones and Windows Media. Especially if it's DRM'd content.
Yeah, because that's the issue, isn't it? It's you want to play back your music. You don't care which source it came from. You want to be able to play all of it. And iTunes has always been a bit on its own, separate to Media Center. So this is a good way of combining the two.
Right, and we're not doing anything freaky with the DRM content. The DRM content that the PC where it lives is authorized to play back.
Yeah, you're playing it back through the application it was designed for.
Exactly. We're just redirecting the audio out of a different sound card, or out of a different channel on the sound card. And that's it.
So with the having the separate channels, does that mean that, well, I'm right in thinking then, you could have Windows Media Player playing one song while iTunes is playing a totally different song, going through the different channels and into different rooms, and them being totally separate?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the thing that we were demonstrating in Orlando at EHX, and that's the video that you can see on 10.
Mm. I think that is a really good solution, and the whole home audio is always a difficult thing to crack, I think, without going up really into thousands and thousands of dollars for stuff. So I think this is an elegant solution.
Yeah, we think so, and we're really excited about 2.0. At this point, we're just really anxious to get it out the door. We should be starting a beta test within a month's time. And if any of your listeners want to participate in the beta, they're already on our mailing list if they have ever tried our software. Invite for the beta then. And if they're interested, they should download the current version of our software, and we'll let us know about the beta when it's available.
Excellent. And as a company then, do you sell these products on to dealers, or do you manufacture your own Media Center systems as well for installers to install?
Well, as of yet, we have no hardware. We haven't been a hardware company, and it's not something we haven't thought about. It's just something that we just haven't had time to do. But it's not something that really interests us too much. We have lots of partners who make hardware. Nivius Media, S1 Digital, Vitabox, Cleaver Technologies. These companies already have hardware, and they resell our software. Some of them have versions of their hardware that comes with our software pre-installed, and that's fine for us.
Mm. I mean, this is the where it's going, isn't it? This part with the software platform is this is where the you know, the elegant design comes in, you get a good solid hardware platform, but then you can build the good stuff on top of that. And I think software is where you want to be when you're doing this kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, software is also easier to ship.
Absolutely, yeah. And in terms of installation then, so is it dealer-based install, or is it also, you know, as a packaged install that I could purchase it and install it myself?
Yes, absolutely. It is something you can install yourself. It's not something I would expect my father, who is a computer novice, to do, because the configuration itself can be a little bit tricky. But the defaults out of the box work rather well, especially if all you're really interested in controlling is Windows Media Center. Once you start adding in 2.0, you know, iTunes and Windows Media Player and multiple channels splitting up a sound card, just the configuration gets a little bit tricky. In fact, we're planning on putting together a wizard to assist customers in doing that install. But, you know, when it comes to a specific piece of hardware, you know, some of our partners pre-install the software and configure it in such a way that it meets the hardware's, you know, what hardware is in that box. So the configuration is already done for you.
I guess the multi-channel audio is something that is very specific to the hardware that you're installing it on. So it's not something you can, you know, it's a generic install. You've got to set that up, each channel up, and then you say with iTunes and Media Player, you've got to set those up to use the correct channels and so on.
Right, so you have to think about it. I mean, if you have multiple sound cards, yeah, every sound card has the ability to have one or more stereo pair, you know, from 1 to 4. And then each of those should be configured to either associate itself with Windows Media Player or iTunes or both. Or if you want to use Windows Media, Vista Media Center, then it would take over an entire sound card. And the reason there is that, you know, if you're playing back movies, you don't want, you know, something to be playing in the back channel. You want to let that whole 7.1 sound card there for the video experience.
Right, yeah. So if you're using a MIDI center PC as a MIDI center PC connected up to a TV, then you just dedicate the channels because you need all those channels for the surround sound audio.
Exactly. There you go. You've got it.
It makes sense. But I guess then, that depending on how you install it, I can see that you would have one box acting as a server and serving your sort of whole home audio, and then you'd have a separate MIDI center PC, either extender or a hardware device that's not doing the whole home audio at the same time.
Exactly. I mean, you can do it that way. I mean, we're flexible enough to do it any number of ways. That's one good way to do it. I have all of my audio on a Windows home server that lives in the closet, and you know, I have a Media Center PC, as I said, in the media room, and I have an Xbox 360 in the master. But I'm thinking that once I get 2.0 ripe, I think that changing my Windows home server that lives in the closet and adding a sound card or two to it might be the better way to go, because I can offload the extra sound zones in the house to this box that spends most of its time just sitting in the closet.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. I guess the trick then is just making sure you get the drivers and everything for the Windows Home Server operating system, but which is probably slightly harder than Vista, but not too much of an issue.
It's really not bad, actually. For those tinkerers who know, they know that Windows Home Server is built on top of Windows 2003 Server, which is really just XP with some extra bits.
So most XP drivers should be okay then?
Yeah, most XP drivers should work for Windows Home Server.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea. It's a good way of, like you said, utilizing a box that might just be sat there doing backups and some file sharing, that you can actually use it to drive your whole home audio. And I guess that significantly cuts down on the cost compared to some of the dedicated hardware systems that people are selling.
Exactly. And the other nice thing there, of course, is that computer is kind of locked down. There is no chance that Billy is going to go and surf the web on your home server and introduce some sort of virus on that computer.
So I can see what you're trying to do with the product. So you've kind of got three different levels, haven't you? You've got the basic level of just having the TCP interface right the way up to the full UMPC and whole home audio solution.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, our product keeps growing. These new features in 2.0, I think, are really a lot of fun. I encourage your listeners to go ahead and download the trial, even if it's the 1.5, which is available for download today. And that's Media Center and Media Player only. But when we get iTunes added, which is going to be, it's just around the corner, really, the beta will be really within the next couple of weeks to a month.
Yeah, and then probably by the time the show's out and everything, it may be pretty close to your release of your beta.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great.
I think it's a great idea, and I like software solutions for stuff, and this software, especially the audio, I think that's a great solution. So I'll include the links for everything in the show notes, but like I said, there's a trial version you can download directly from your website.
Exactly, and I can give you all those links.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure I include those in the show notes as well. And I noticed, to the AHX, there was a lot of interest in that. So it was good to see that especially the audio solution, there was a lot of interest in it from the other dealers.
Yes, we had a really good show in Orlando. Lots of people coming by to see what we were doing. I think the multi-room audio and the iTunes solution got people really excited. Which was good for us. It was a fun show.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, many thanks for your time today for coming on the show. It was really great to talk to you. It's always great when you come across these, really innovative solutions. So it was really good to talk to you about that today.
Well, thanks for having us on, Ian. I appreciate it.
Well, great. So I'll include links for everything in the show notes, and maybe we'll talk in the future when version 2 is out.
Okay, sounds good.
That's it for this week's show. You can email me, Ian, at thedigitallifestyle.com with your home automation stories, how you're taking your media with you. As I mentioned before, I'm on Twitter, IS Dixon. I'm not sure the exact schedule. I'm going to be over in Berlin next week for a HP event. So best way to keep up to date is on Twitter. See you next week. Bye.